Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my breast I thrill to see your glory paint the breeze.
Also Fleet Week in San Francisco, excuse me, and it's also this week in 1845 was the founding of our second military academy, the U.S. Naval Academy at Annapolis, Maryland. Here's some of the interesting birthdays today. The guy that discovered the element hydrogen, Hayward, was born in the 17th century. Giuseppe Verdi, one of the greatest opera composers. He also wrote the Requiem Mass, which is probably the most frequently played, even more played than the Mozart Requiem. Giuseppe Verdi was born today. And he wrote Aida, which is a very popular opera, which was for the opening of the Suez Canal. Also, people who are investing in gold, and it's really skyrocketing. Today is the birthday of the South African president and Boer War leader, Paul Kruger. The Boer War was about the Britain had interest in South Africa. They wanted to control it because of the gold in the Transvaal. And the early settlers in the 17th century came from were Dutch Protestants, French Calvinist Protestants, and some English, but it was dominated by the Dutch and the French. And you see these names even today. And Kruger, the Boers lost the battles, but actually won the war because even Gandhi was there in the late 1890s and thrown off a train. But they had the colored system, and that was the intermarriage or the screwing around between the Dutch and the French with the natives. And of course, it was once said of about one of the South African leaders that he had some black blood. And he said, if I have African blood, it's Zulu, that's the best. And, of course, Winston Churchill fought as a young correspondent, and he was captured in his escape. And it was that made him famous or infamous, depending on how you look at Churchill. So those of you, when you hear the term Krugerrand, that refers to Paul Kruger, the president of South Africa, the first president, and he was the guy that was very important in the economic life of South Africa and promoting its gold and other mineral interests. And there's some interesting composers today. We have, besides Verdi, we have Theophilus Monk, I can never pronounce that, great black musician, Paul Creston, a modern American composer. Then we have John Green, or Johnny Green as he was known. During the 50s, MGM used their studio orchestra to film and record popular classical music. And Green was the conductor, and he was also a composer. He wrote Body and Soul, probably it was his most famous composition. And those of you who like Shogun and literature written by this author, James Cavell. He was born today. And along with the other actors, we have Richard Jaco. Remember him in The Dirty Dozen? Played the blonde sergeant who worked with Lee Marvin. Lee Marvin also served in World War II as a Marine. A lot of people don't know that. Then we have Peter Coyote, a controversial actor. He was born today. Another black actor, Ben Vereen, was born today. This guy, Harold Pinter, a controversial English playwright. He was born today. And we have Daniel Massey, the son of Raymond Massey, the Canadian, Scotch-Canadian family that owned Massey Ferguson. And Daniel Massey was in several films, you know, came from a fabulous family and helped. He was born in London and helped be rich, I guess. And of the trip, oh, and sports, for those of you who follow the New Orleans Saints, I think he was with them. Well, he was a great football player. He's from the South, Brett Favre. I think that's how you pronounce it. He was born today. And then interesting deaths. This is interesting. Yul Brynner played in The King and I. He was actually Swiss, from my understanding, unless that was his citizenship. Then it was Orson Welles, Citizen Kane. He was from my neck of the woods in Illinois. And Christopher Reeve died today. And then a great Jewish comedian, Eddie Cantor, died today. And another great British actor and father of, I think it's Susanna Richardson, a family of actors, Sir Ralph Richardson, he died today. And this is a hint for all these corrupt politicians who think they're indispensable. In 1973, the siren's not coming for them. Nothing I can do about it. Sorry, folks. Spiro Agnew, Vice President of the United States in the Nixon administration, he resigned because of corruption that he was involved in when he was the county executive in Baltimore, Maryland. And, of course, that's where Nancy Pelosi, née D'Alessandro, came from. She's not a native San Franciscan, and people are getting very pedo when they refer to Nancy Pelosi as a San Franciscan. She's not. She's a carpetbagger from Baltimore, and she should do what Spiro Agnew did. She's not indispensable, and she should resign. That's a growing feeling, even in here in liberal so-called San Francisco. Among the events today, as I said, the Naval Academy, our second military academy, opened this week. And in 1868, we had the first revolt of Cuba against Spain. And, of course, it took 30 years, 1898, the Spanish-American War, which was facilitated by there was yellow journalism between William Randolph Hearst I and Joseph Pulitzer waging a circulation war and exaggerating what was going on. In fact, in some cases, absolutely lying about what was going on in Cuba. And then, of course, President McKinley was trying to avoid war, and he sent the USS Maine, a dreadnought battleship, down there. And, of course, the Maine blew up, and they blamed it on a Spanish sabotage, when, in fact, they later found out, I think it was nearly 100 years later, that the coal dust in the near the magazines had something caused it to ignite, and that's what blew up the Maine. But the war cry was, remember the Maine. And what we got out of the Spanish-American War musically was John Philip Sousa, El Capitan, which was famous march. And, of course, he was the great him and a guy named Gilmore was the great military march composers of the day. But Sousa wrote operas. His birthday is coming up next month. We'll have some rare Sousa that we found in our archives. And then let's see what else happened today. Oh, and the this is known as in Afghanistan Deliverance Day, and I don't know what that means. I couldn't find it, but I guess a lot of Afghans are wishing they would be delivered from the Taliban and all of this war. But that, again, that's Afghanistan. And then also in 1933, the first synthetic detergent was marketed, and it was by Procter & Gamble, and it was called Dreft, D-R-E-F-T. I haven't seen it around for a long time, but that was the first synthetic detergent. Now, the first that was marketed in America, now, the first synthetic detergents were believed to be invented in Germany during World War I. And, of course, the famous Germany was the chemical companies there, IG Farben, which was actually Jewish, and they were they're known for their notorious invention of Cyclone B. And it was interesting when Goring was asked about what are these Jews doing, they're not in the concentration camp, and they're running this firm, IG Farben, he says, I decide who's Jewish and who's not. But it's just interesting, and I guess religion goes just so far, religious affiliation. And then in 1911, Sun Yat-sen finally helped to overthrow the Manchu dynasty. If you want to see a great movie on that period, see 55 Days at Peiping, and also The Last Emperor. This guy was the last emperor, Pi Yum. And then he later became the puppet emperor of Manchuria when the Japanese set him up as a puppet. And so these are the interesting and Porgy and Bess, the great opera, I Got Plenty of Nothing, which has become the theme song of a growing number of Americans, and they're very unhappy about this. And it's interesting that it was written by George Gershwin, who was from a Jewish family from Russia. And he died at a very young age. He went to, he was part of that whole Tin Pan Alley crowd in New York. Those of you who don't know music history, I had to study this stuff when I was at the conservatory. And he went to Europe to study music, a counterpoint and harmony or advanced copies, because he was a natural, under famed French woman, Nadia Boulanger. And also Aaron Copland, Kaplan, he anglicized his name, he also studied there, and several Americans. She wrote some music also, and she had a famous sister. Haywood wrote the lyrics. What's the matter here? Yeah, had a little trouble technically, we got it corrected. And then Ira Gershwin, George's brother, George Gershwin died, I think in his early 30s, of a disease which I think was an infection or something. Antibiotics were not invented at the time. I got my ailments are correct. And his brother lived about 60 years, Ira Gershwin, and he died, I think, maybe about five, 10 years ago. And Gershwin's music is still popular today. And also during that same period, he had Showboat, very similar theme, with Jerome Kern, who was an Austrian Jewish family who emigrated from Austria and also worked in New York. So great composers. I'm going to play now. This is Fleet Week, and we didn't quite get it ready today, but I'm still working on it. I had a little difficulty. One of the most interesting habeas corpus cases, which relates to the Steve Mary case and other habeas corpus cases involving the military, Russian sailor was, he came over here to take, in the Tsar's Navy, he was a conscript, Alexandrov, and he was sent over with a contingent of Russian sailors to take possession of a ship that was nearly completed, the Vurig, which is being built in the Philadelphia Naval Yard, or Philadelphia Shipyard. And he decided that he didn't want to join the ship. It was nearly completed, but he hadn't set foot on it. So he said, because I didn't set foot on it, and I'm resigned, I want to become an American citizen, and he filed a habeas corpus. Well, the Russia, the guy who was handling diplomatic affairs for Russia in that area, Tucker, ordered that he be arrested. So he was. This thing went to the federal courts in that circuit, all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court, in effect, and we'll put the document up because it's very interesting. That said, in effect, that once you're in the military, you're under the jurisdiction of that country's military laws, and that applied to Alexandrov. So he was turned over to the consul and to the Russian commander. I don't know what his fate was. It'll be interesting. I heard he was hung or sent to Siberia, and this was just before the Russo-Japanese War, because that ship, Vareg, was fought off 10 Japanese battleships and naval ships in the Russo-Japanese War, and some of them went down with their ship. And then the successor using that name was recently here in San Francisco, and you can go to Amicus Veritas to look up our Russian ship, AMICUSVERITAS, and there'll be a lot more. And we were talking about also that Americans who have relatives or young Americans who are thinking of going into the military services, you need to know about how there's a growing incidence across the country of local civil authority, which is violating the rights of military personnel. We have the Steve Neri case, 15 years, going into 16 here in California. There was a case in Colorado, Tim Masters, which was featured which is on 48 Hours, CBS. He was falsely accused of murder and raping this woman. He spent 15 years in Colorado State Prison. He pursued the fact that he was innocent, and he recently settled with Fort Collins for about $4 to $5 million, and the cop that railroaded him is being prosecuted, as he should be. And unfortunately, the Colorado State Bar did not disbar the prosecutors involved, who cost that state, you know, millions of dollars. Instead, they were appointed local judges. It tells you the state of the bars, which are increasingly they don't represent the people of the states that they're in. And we've got that same problem here in California, that politically connected lawyers who rip off clients, or who are totally incompetent or do other things, molest people, and which has happened, do not get disbarred. And I'm told that the State Bar of California is controlled by several major law firms, so that may be one of the problems. And maybe it is time, as Milton Friedman suggested, that to make bar membership voluntary. It's mandatory in California, and it costs every lawyer who wants to practice here regularly has to be a member, and it costs, I think, $500 a year fee. And recently, over $500,000 was ripped off by people at the state bar. Of course, that was not well publicized. And let's see. And then, of course, we have the case in Virginia, the Norfolk Four, which is one of the big naval bases. And these four young sailors under 25 were living off base in an apartment complex. And they were accused of murdering, raping a young woman. They claimed that they were railroaded into Virginia State Prison, and that is about 15 years. We also have at least, 10, 11 U.S. Marines and one Army National Guard guy who was killed in California and Washington by this guy, Randy Kraft, who preyed on young men, and particularly like young Marines. He would pick them up if they were hitchhiking, drug them, rape and mutilate them, and then dump their bodies at the side of the road. And he's done it. He did this to allegedly to maybe 40 other young males across as far east as Michigan and up into Canada. He's sitting on death row right now, and people have forgotten about him. Then we have the U.S. Air Force. Has a base up here in Northern California called Travis. And during the Vietnam War, there were planes coming in and out of there every minute. And some of them were bringing drugs. In fact, I know for a fact, because one of my neighbors was going up there regularly to get drugs that were coming in body bags. But anyway, they have allowed the Solano County jail to... there's some kind of deal worked out where they hold Air Force personnel who have committed violations of the Universal Code of Military Justice. Well, this young woman named Bright claimed that she was abused by the sheriff, and there was a case about that, but they didn't get any publicity, but I found it in the law books. So we don't know how many of these other cases across the country are going on, but remember, when these young men and women go into the service, it costs a lot of money to train them. And when they're trained and they get into these conflicts with local civilian authority, even abroad, the country has now lost the value of their services and their training. And, of course, their lives are disrupted whether they're guilty or not. So we need to pay attention to this, and it's probably the least reported subject across the entire media. I would recommend the film Decision Before Dawn. I was thinking about it the other day, and it's not exactly on this. It's similar issues where the Gestapo were at the end of World War II in late 1944. Soldiers who the Gestapo thought, Wehrmacht soldiers who the Gestapo thought were either deserting or accused of betraying Nazi Germany, they were just picked up peremptorily and shot, and all their rights were violated. Now, Decision Before Dawn relates to Wehrmacht POWs who were in American camps, and our Army intelligence decided to use them to infiltrate them back in Germany to get information and get it relayed back to American forces so that this would expedite the end of the war. Well, Oscar Werner played one of the Nazis' POWs, and Richard Basehart played his control. Fascinating movie. I would recommend that people see it just to see that one issue of how local the Gestapo, which was the civil authority in Germany, very tyrannical among other things and abusive, but to see how this dynamic works. And, of course, we've had other cases here, Southern sheriffs picking on Northern military draftees and blacks, Jews, Catholics, especially in such places as Phoenix, Alabama, which was across the river from Fort Benning, Georgia. And everybody I talked to who stayed there remarked about how corrupt that Phoenix City, Alabama was. And it was labeled by Time Magazine as the most corrupt city in America. Now San Francisco is, and you can go to our website, YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, YouTube, to see some of the documented evidence. I'm going to play the second part of an interview with Mahatma Gandhi's grandnephew, and we're talking about, we've got so many interviews here, talking about the Congress Party, which is the party that Nehru and Gandhi played, and also see the movie Gandhi, great film. And here's Gandhi's grandnephew.
42, okay. Yogesh, we're hearing a lot of stories about the Congress Party and India of today. Do you think if your great-uncle came back, your great-granduncle came back, would he recognize India today as what is it in the image of what he set out to build?
No, I don't think so, because today's India is it's become more corrupted, and the reason of the reason behind the corruption, I think so, it's a Western influence in India, and the Indian people has not adopted in a proper way this influence. That's the reason.
So some people say if Christ came back, he'd be thrown into jail. You think a similar situation with your uncle?
Certainly, I believe it.
Of course, the British put him in jail, but his own people.
I don't think so that people of India will put him in the jail, but it will be very difficult for the Mahatma Gandhi to recognize his India again.
Okay, we'll move on to the next question.
That was real short. So, but this is also interesting about the Congress Party. One of the people who worked very closely with Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, was Jawaharlal Nehru.
542. Are there a lot of vegetarians in India?
Yes, certainly. India is a country where the most of the population are vegetarian. And when I see the Hindus, most of the Hindus are vegetarian. Even in my family and other family, even we don't eat any egg or fish. So strictly vegetarian.
To compensate for the meat, is that why those curries are so hot?
I think so.
That's some of the new age music. This interview was taped for one of these new age expositions. So that's the music they're hearing in the background. What I was talking about was Nehru's daughter later became a Prime Minister of India, and she was assassinated. One of the women do get assassinated. I'm not crowing about this, but this is only a fact of life. We had a recent woman assassination who was assassinated, I think a major politician in Nevada. We also had the Empress of Austria, Elizabeth, Franz Joseph's wife. She was assassinated in Italy by an anarchist. And of course, we had Mary Queen of Scots, who had an execution. And then we had Marie Antoinette, who had it. And I think there was an still doing some transfer of tapes. So that's the end of the Gandhi thing. And then we'll also have Otto Butz, the late former president of Golden Gate University. He was the guy, he succeeded Russell Sharp, personal friend of mine also. And that university, it was a college at the time, created the military off-campus programs. And what it was a bridge for military personnel to take college courses on their military bases or wherever they were. And they would these credits would accumulate so that when they returned to civilian life, they would use those credits to enter Golden Gate University. That was known as a college at that time, started by the YMCA here in San Francisco. And so a lot of military personnel took advantage of that program started by Golden Gate University. Or Golden Gate University was certainly one of the pioneers in that field. And these military personnel, once they got out of the service, used their VA benefits and those credits to enter Golden Gate University and other schools in that college or that university. That's one of the things about this. And also Otto Butz, he was born in Romania. His parents were Romanian Germans, emigrated to Canada. He studied at Princeton, has written several books. He had an interesting hobby, entomology, the study of bugs, and a great voice and politically astute. And the interview we did with him was on political animals, why people use animal allusions to describe politicians, and some of them are pretty derogatory. So we'll end with my favorite ending theme, which is very apropos. Here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the sign?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say, neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. Neither game for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to call a
bluff. All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
parrot rays.
Venom.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Break a mine.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
Well, we'll see you Tuesday. This is Peter Paul Brazola. Thank you for listening.